Two games can change a lot, Derek.
Go on.
We've only played two games since the last podcast, and Hurricane Suicide Watch has gone to level 10.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not good out there, Derek.
Here's how not good it is, Mike.
Yep.
Between the two of us, which one would you say is the optimist, and which one would you say is the pessimist?
I am the eternal glass half full optimist.
And
you are a raging asshole.
I was going to go with pessimist, but okay. I guess that's a stronger way to put it, Mike. I wrote a piece telling Canes fans to back away from the ledge. I did that, Mike.
You did.
Not you. Me.
Yeah, that's generally my spot. You know, my spot is generally rah, rah, rah. It's okay, everybody. We're going to get through this together. Yeah,
that's how bad it's gotten after just 10 games that I had to write that piece.
Yeah. It's...
Granted, it was a lot of, you know, gifs or gifs and very few words. I'm sure Mr. Workrate shed a tear at the word count of that post. But, yeah, it's not been a fun time on Kane's Twitter. So, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, get a win tonight.
Yeah, we definitely need a win tonight. We're going to talk about what happened this week. We're going to talk to... We've got a great guest tonight, today, this afternoon, whenever it is you're listening to this. Mark Armstrong from ABC 11 was here to provide... just a good conversation. Mark warned us. He goes, I don't do hockey analysis. He's Canadian, so he doesn't have to do hockey analysis. He
and can just cool put story, on. We don't really do hockey analysis.
Yeah, Mark could just put on a brightly colored jacket and talk, and you know, someone will put him on TSN for 20 minutes for the next 4 years. Jesus Christ, I hate that guy too. Anyway, yeah, there's going to be a lot of hate filled, you know, rants coming from this microphone. We're also going to talk a little fun. We may talk a little bit about coming back from the edge. It's also at the recording time of this podcast, because folks love live in-game updates during the middle of a podcast,
and live clock updates are the best.
It's currently 10:58 on Saturday morning, and newsflash, we've already cracked beer. So thanks for joining us on this week's episode of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Derek, I need you to do me a favor.
Yes.
Take a drink of the beer.
Oh yeah, I can absolutely do that.
And while you're taking a bit of the beer, why don't I hit that damn X button?
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Yes, welcome back, and thank you, Mr. Voice, for having us. This week's edition of the podcast, we've got lots of things to talk about, but we would be remiss if we didn't thank our good friends for allowing us to be a continued member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. This the Jumanji edition.
Yeah, why not?
Who knows? We've got beer reviews to talk about. We got cheat mail. We're going to get to all of that stuff. Interesting fact about the beer review, Derek.
Yes, Mike.
It has come true. After 5 seasons of this podcast and 3 seasons of solid beer reviews, we've consistently talked about, would somebody please locally help us? And we finally have a sponsor for the Section 328 beer extravaganza, including all of the stuff that's going to be on the blog and this podcast. Our good friends at Bottle Mix over on Creedmoor Road have finally come to us. We have hugged. We have signed pen to paper.
A pen, yeah. You're not erasing this one.
And we have a sponsor for beer.
Oh, I absolutely love it. So we will talk more about them at the beer review, but very happy to have Bottle Mix on board, sponsoring all of the beer reviews in the audio and print form of Section 328.
Yeah. So, Derek, let's talk a little bit about what has happened in the past week. Anaheim came to town. The Nick Ritchie Easterheads, as I like to call them. It was not a good game.
Was not the best of games.
We should have won that game. Shocker. We had a chance to close out October I believe it was 5.
We would have been north of hockey 500, I believe.
And guess what? Hurricanes shockingly disappoint. And not only shockingly disappoint, after I believe we came back after a 1-goal deficit early in that game. And then we sat on the lead.
Mm-hmm.
We sat on the lead for, I don't know, the umpteenth time we've actually had a lead this season, and we failed to keep a lead. Scott Darling's 5-hole beginning to get a little bit worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
Our defense continuing to get more worrisome by the day.
Which, that one just blows my mind.
And As I was there when the first round of the shootout happened and they trotted out Scory Perry, I looked at the people around me and I said, I've seen this horror movie before. I am going to turn around and take my back to the ice so that way I do not have to watch Corey Perry score the game-winning shootout goal against the Carolina Hurricanes. Guess what happened, Derek?
Corey Perry scored?
Yeah, yeah. Corey Perry, full of evil and vinegar, scored on our beautiful ginger goalie, and we lost that point. Now, again, I don't hate the fact that we gave a point to the Anaheim Easterheads, Easter Island Heads, for those of you who haven't listened before. Nick Ritchie, giant freaking dome. But the fact that we had a lead and could not keep the lead, gave up a late goal, and ultimately lost in the shootout feels so similar to, I don't know, six of the last nine seasons.
It wasn't fun at all. And I question a little bit putting Slavin out there every time in the shootout.
I don't, because it was his was the only one that had an opportunity to go, and he did not go with his patented move.
No, and you can't keep going to that well every time. Otherwise, anytime you see Slavin in the shootout, you go, oh, okay, now it's going to be the backhand. So I get that he mixed it up. I just wish that, I know they've said that Skinner is like over his last 106 in a shootout, so maybe you don't put him out there. But the fact that he's been the one guy for the Canes scoring goals, like if he never goes out in a shootout, he's always going to stay over. Why not try him again? Why not put some other offensively creative guys out there? I don't know, but I think nitpicking the shootout is the wrong way to look at it.
No, we gave up yet another third period lead.
I mean, this defense, and we talked to Mark Armstrong about this a little bit, supposed to be the strength of this team, and right now, it's weak. I mean, our goal scoring, while not good, I'm not going to put it as much on the goal scoring as the goal allowing side of this team.
I feel like this team has an identity crisis. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. A team with two captains who could have been captain last year, and a guy who they brought in as veteran leadership in Justin Williams has an identity crisis.
It's weird. It's weird what is going on with this team. Do we want to get to the Colorado game now, or do we want to do that later?
No. You know what I want to do? I want to go to somebody who's much more smart and much more Canadian than we are.
Pick me up, yeah. Mike.
Derek, first time interviewee, probably first time listener, but definitely not a first timer to Raleigh Sports. He is one of our favorite followers over on Twitter, and one of the most knowledgeable Canadians doing sports here in Raleigh. None other than from ABC 11, sports guru Mark Armstrong. Mark, thanks for joining us on the Cheaters Never Win podcast, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. That was a lot of qualifiers. Well, Canadians doing sports in Raleigh.
We like to say qualifications, but qualifiers also works.
Okay.
Well, we have to.
All right, that works too.
When you're as bad at this as we are, we really have to build up our guest because basically, I don't know if you know this, but the next 11, 12 minutes are pretty much all on you, Mark. Much like Jeff Skinner and the Carolina Hurricanes, because you know. It's a one-man show out there right now. Kane's Twitter is peering over the edge into the precipice of just pure depression. Mark, as a good Canadian boy who's had his Toronto Maple Leafs disappoint him for the last 50-plus years, tell us why we should continue to have an inkling of hope here in Raleigh.
Oh, gosh. What about just hope for hope's sake? I don't know what I'm pointing at as a tangible reason for hope. Jeff Skinner is good, as you point out. He's pretty good. Sebastian Aho, we thought was pretty good, right? I don't know. I'm kind of at the same spot as you guys are right now. Listen, I've been here long enough and covering this team long enough, and I was blessed to arrive 2 years or maybe like a year and a half, essentially, before the Hurricanes gloriously rode their way to the Stanley Cup in the summer of 06. So I've been to the mountaintop, as you guys have, too. So this scuttling around in the valley for a decade now, you know, kind of wandering the desert, waiting for God to send a message to Moses and bring us back to the promised land. I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys here. I thought this was the year maybe we finally get an inkling of daylight or whatever it is. And we're just kind of puttering around like like previous seasons.
We figured if anything else, the defense would be a strong suit for this team. And, you know, I was looking back through the scores lately, and we've allowed 6 goals and 5 goals and 4 goals far too often. And, you know, last year it was very easy. Cam Ward often was overworked, you know, among other things. But this year it's still early, and both he and Scott Darling have not put up fantastic numbers, but a lot of it hasn't been on them. I mean, the defense has allowed way, way too many easy goals. What do you think is going on with what was supposed to be the strong part of this team?
Yeah, again, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know what the answer is. I don't know if it's like a boulder rolling downhill that happens in these games where they get it's kind of fun to get involved in an up and down game, but then there'll be a bad goal let in and it just seems to catapult itself forward where then everybody seems to not be doing their job effectively enough. There's just something what's missing with this team? I don't know, because if you look at the pieces or just keep piling captains on. But what's missing? We were kind of talking about it after, not you and me specifically, but just on Twitter in general. Like, Bill Peters seems like the sharpest hockey mind. And when you talk to him, he seems like he's totally knows what's going on and is confident to, extremely confident in his system. He's got the backing of all the analytics guys on staff now, and the numbers all add up. And it seems like this is not possibly going to continue when the numbers are so good that it eventually has to turn, but then it just doesn't. So what's happening? Like, what is missing? Like, I guess it's just a mystery to me. I mean, I promised you guys no analysis when I joined you, and I'm backing that up now.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
This is solid no analysis. And, you know, you're one of those guys who is right there, you know, talking to Bill Peters, talking to Ron Francis, getting the insights, you know, that the restraining orders will not allow us to get. So the rumor around town is that the hot seat is beginning to warm up a little bit for Bill Peters. And you're right. He is very confident in his system, but is, you know, as just a hockey guy and not a guy necessarily who covers the team, is his persistence in sticking to his system and not maybe doing some things that he may be uncomfortable with, I don't know, like taking a guy like Sebastian Aho and actually having a legitimate third line center, or taking Jeff Skinner and putting him with, I don't know, legitimate NHL players. Is his staunchness in his system and his belief potentially the downfall that continues to heat up that seat he's on?
Yeah, I would think. I would think that's what we're all looking at, right? Or, you know, even, and I'm not trying to pile on Cam Ward again, but I mean, why, if you have a number one goalie, why, if you have a number one goalie, why is Cam Ward trotting out there against Colorado? Scott Darling should have played, and I'm not saying the result is necessarily different. There's no way to know for sure, but there's other stuff. Yeah. Like, if you're going to keep riding the same horses, eventually those horses, it looks like they're headed towards the cliff. So, I'm definitely a proponent, like, just, you know, for a team that oftentimes struggles with goals, let's try putting some of our best players together. How about that? Is that a revolutionary idea? And try and get some goals that way. And if you have a terrible fourth line and a middling at best third line, then maybe that's just the risk you have to take. But, he seems very set. And then the constant line juggling, both on the forwards and the defensemen. I don't know how anybody builds any kind of chemistry. I'm not a hockey coach. I was never a hockey coach. I played street hockey just about every day of my life. Never played organized hockey. So I don't know what's going on inside the room and why a guy like Bill Peters, that obviously does know the game, continues to do these things that don't seem to be working and don't make a lot of sense to people like us. And if they keep not working on the ice in terms of results, then yeah, I mean, you have to think about what is Bill Peters doing, and is Bill Peters the guy that can get this team finally back over the hump?
And let me go ahead and do this, Mark. I'd like to formally invite you to be a part of the team that I was on this past year at the Jim Connors Media Street Hockey Cup. I noticed you weren't there this year. I would like to formally invite you to be a part of our team the winning team, Derek.
Thanks, Mike. Glad I could help you get that win.
Yeah, I appreciate that. As a guy who, you know, we are backstopped by Shane Willis, I think you could be the linchpin we need to beat Joe Ovius's team by double-digit goals.
Yeah, I'm kind of Jordan Staley in that way, and that I really drive possession, a lot of possession. But that my one kind of the one thing I cannot overcome is I cannot get the ball or the puck past Mike Maniscalco. So if he is the opposing goaltender, then I've got a serious mental block because I fired probably 20 shots the last game I was able to make it to, and he snuffed out everyone.
Well, I was amazed that Mike was able to walk away from that game because he made a few saves that a man of his age has no business making.
By age, I think you mispronounced girth. But anyway, go ahead, Derek.
Ouch.
He's deceptively acrobatic, that guy.
Yes.
Mark, let's say you have total control over the Hurricanes and you can start with one thing. What's the move you make or the talk you have? And whom do you have that talk with to try to get this team turned around?
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big one. I'm going to start from the back end up. Scott Darling is my goalie. We hired him. We signed him in the summer to be the new goalie of the franchise. And thus far, it seems like we're trying to force a 1 and 1A system down people's throats. No, make Darling your goalie 75 to 80% of the games, even more if he's rested. Start there and see if he's up to the job instead of flopping back and forth like they've been doing. And then, I don't know. I don't know if it's just, I don't know how he relates. Peter seems like a no nonsense guy. So I don't know if he gets up into his players' hindquarters. This is a weird visual, but I don't know if he tears into people. Yeah, I don't know if he tears into people. I don't know if that's what this team needs. You know, like the classic old Mike Keenan, like bringing a guy that everybody hates, but you're going to play for him or you're not going to play. I think there's just needs to be some kind of a fire lit under this team, and they don't seem to play with that fire more often than not.
A coach they who will rip a paper towel dispenser off the wall?
Something like that, yeah. So I would install Scott Darling as the starting goalie until we find out that he can't play starting goalie. And then, tell my players, listen, we've got the pieces here. Go get some points. So that's what I have to offer on that front.
Maybe what during Eddie Lack's downtime, we can have Eddie Lack come back and Bill Peters can just scream at him from down the hallway and scare everybody else in the locker room.
Stop screaming at the guys that are relatively immaterial.
Yes.
Scream at the guys that matter.
Oh gosh, it's killing me. Okay, Mark, let's get to this. There was a lot of questions last week that were basically baiting you and your Toronto Maple Leafs and your love of them. Austin Matthews is the real deal. Finally, a savior has shown up in the center of the hockey universe, and he is from Arizona. So, Mark, let's take off your Raleigh hat and let's talk a little Utah football. Let's talk a little Toronto hockey. What does it feel like to be a fan of a team that has such a bright future in front of it? So that way we can, as a Caniac Nation, maybe live a little vicariously through you, Mark Armstrong.
Yeah, well, the joke when I first came here that I made with all my friends back in Toronto area and just my relatives all over Canada is I had to move to Raleigh freaking North Carolina to see a Stanley Cup championship after growing up in Toronto. What sense does that make? So then Austin Matthews being the savior of the Maple Leafs and coming from Arizona is kind of a similar situation. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's just awesome having a guy like that that's playing for your team. Now, the Leafs have some of the same issues in that Freddie Anderson can't stop anything lately, and the defense is, not the tightest drum around. But it's fun to just have a superstar. I had a Matt Sundin jersey, and I still do, for the last 21 years, and that was my guy before I moved stateside. And I feel like we hadn't had a player that, before Sundin, it was Doug Gilmore, and before him, it was Wendell Clark. And he's the new talisman of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is a guy obviously who's super young and just has all the talent in the world. So it's a good feeling. I will tell you, it's a good feeling to have a guy. And maybe this is what the Hurricanes are lacking, because Matthews not only is obviously great himself, but he makes whoever's on his line better too. And the Canes just don't have that guy right now. You need like a, you know, somebody that you plop on a line and it makes Derek Ryan better. Jeff Skinner can't do that. So anyway, so, I'm excited. But honestly, it directly impacts my life much more how the Hurricanes are doing than how the Leafs are doing right now. So I would like to see the Hurricanes do well.
Yeah, as would we. What, you know, one thing that's been floated out there, Mark, should we trade Noah Hanifin for Mitch Marner? Is that the fix that we need? We go get little tiny shifty Mitch Marner and we trade.
He's fun size.
He is fun size.
It's like Halloween candy.
Do you make that trade, Mark Armstrong?
I'm not attached to Hanifin in any form or fashion. I don't know that Mitch Marner is the answer, but I'm never opposed to adding some more offensive talent. It's not like the Canes are a team of heavies anyway. So I don't have any aversion to trading Noah Hanifin, and I don't have any aversion to adding a small guy, but I'm not, I don't know. I'd be tempted. I'll say that much. I'd be tempted to do such a thing just to add a little bit of electricity to the lineup that is lacking currently.
Yeah. As a guy who has a Noah Hanifin sweater currently hanging in the closet, the thought of that actually not only hurts me, but excites me because, Noah's had a little bit of a rough season, but Derek will tell you that his stats, you know, he's second best on the team. And
I looked at the fancy stats. Yeah. I churned the data, if you will.
Yeah. Whatever. Right. Mark Armstrong, this was fun. Thank you for joining us. I know you have a long day ahead of you of North Carolina State disappointment, followed by the Carolina Hurricanes playing a one-win Arizona team. I look forward to you trying to pull us back off the ledge should the inevitable happen tonight, which is the Canes give Arizona their second win. Folks, if you're not following him, he is Armstrong. I believe it's Armstrong ABC11 is your Twitter handle, Mark?
Yes. And, that is correct. That is correct.
You can see him over on ABC11, Mark, doing one of the best sportscasts in the business.
Of Canadian guys in Raleigh.
Also, we want to snuff out the rumors. Mark Armstrong had absolutely nothing to do with the fire at the WRAL studios last night. Correct, Mark?
There is no way that anybody can prove or come up with any evidence that would place me at that scene. Let me just leave it at that.
There you go. Guys, he is Mark Armstrong. He is one of our absolute favorite followers and just a great guy. Mark, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday to join us, sir.
Thank you for having me, fellas. And here's to a victory this evening.
Oh, you from your mouth to God's ear, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Armstrong, good guy. I mean, thanks. Mark Armstrong had to go out into his garage so that way his his children's did not attack him. I believe it's because of Mark's lovableness. It could also be because of the fact, this might be complete rumor. I hear Canadians taste like maple syrup. Hmm. So maybe his kids just like lick him like a candy cane.
I have nothing for that.
Nothing?
No.
We're just going to drop it there. Okay. I don't know what to do. I mean, Mark said it best. We have to win tonight.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
Why do we have to win tonight?
Because Arizona's terrible?
Because we went to Colorado, put up 60 shots on goal, and still lost by 3 because we gave up 3 goals in 3 minutes and 30-some-odd seconds.
That short side, glove high, should have held the post goal.
You're talking about the first goal that we scored, right?
No, I'm talking about the one that Cam let in.
I know.
Dear God. That one got me, Mike.
Oh, really? Because it was the full exact Cam Ward Twitter bingo card?
Mm-hmm. Short side, high glove, first NHL goal.
Yep.
Didn't hold a post.
And then Welp drank for the free square.
Yeah, there you go.
And if you're not currently playing NHL Carolina Hurricanes bingo, go over to section328.com. One of the most recent posts is the Canes bingo card for tonight's game against the Arizona Coyotes. Cute.
Coyotes. You got to say it like you're an old prospector.
Yeah, Coyotes.
Oh, the Coyotes.
So, you can go over there and play Kane's Twitter bingo with us. So that way, if the world does begin to burn around us, at least we can all, you know, have a laugh and a giggle for it. You know what, Derek? I'm going to go. We haven't talked about this. I'm going out on a limb.
All right.
If the Canes get Twitter bingo tonight and you're the first person to yell and prove bingo on Twitter, I'm going to give a shirt away.
Okay.
Why not? You know, for the folks, I mean, that means folks who had to listen to the podcast today, they actually made it this far through.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away a shirt to the first Canes Twitter bingo winner using the hashtag Canes Twitter bingo. You okay. have to use the hashtag, you have to be the first, and you have to be able to prove it. I'm giving away your favorite Section 328 shirt in your favorite color that we actually are able to get and your size. Why not?
Screw it. I like that idea.
I like
Mike.
This. Let's bring a little bit of fun after what happened with the world burning after Colorado.
God.
And the only way that we may hit Kane's Twitter bingo tonight is actually if we lose. We may need a little bit of levity after.
So, you know, not for accounting reasons, but for that reason, I hope we don't have to give a shirt away.
Oh, no, I'm saying exactly. If we win and play strong and have a great game tonight, it's going to be a little tough to get Kane's Twitter bingo. And don't cheat. Don't just go out there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tweet these five things. No, yeah, it has to be legitimate Twitter
bingo. They can't
bingo.
Be things you tweet yourself.
Right. I mean, maybe, unless you're Doug Abrams, because you tweet everything.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, how are you? Good to talk to you. We got to drop like one listener reference every week. Derek, I don't even want to go into the Colorado game. It was an abomination, but it was also the game we lose. Come on. After all of the talk of Matt Duchene, after all of the talk of we need that player, after all of the talk of how bad Colorado is, and after winning the statistics Stanley Cup in that game, of course we lose.
Because we can't beat Colorado. I don't know how many years it's been that it just seems like...
They have great players like Nathan MacKinnon and Matt Duchene.
And that's exactly where it's... Well, no, they have Landeskog and Rantanen or whatever, but like...
Right, yeah, look at all those players. You keep talking. I'm just going to eat a protein bar because I'm tired of talking about this game.
Colorado Avalanche, a team...
I'm just going to chew in people's ears.
With the requisite number of NHL players.
Had four people just unsubscribe.
Chewing in people's ears, I believe, is a patented bit by the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
Is it now?
I've heard a rumor that Tom enjoys an Uncrustable.
You're talking about... The podcast that in a Texas Tornado match would have no chance against this podcast crew?
Correct. They'd be too busy eating Uncrustables.
There you go.
So yeah, let's just move right on for that Colorado game. Mike, I want to point out the fact that tonight we play Arizona. They're allowing 4.6 goals a game.
Okay. Is that good?
For us, it's not good for Arizona, but I fear what happens when we only score two.
Well,
but if we win 2-1 or 2-0, I don't care. Just go out there and win. Here's the thing. Like, please, everybody, again, back away from the ledge. Mike and I are kind of panicking about this because, one, it's fun to do this because no one wants to hear even keel podcasts. But the team is not doing that badly. Like, we're ahead of Edmonton in the standings, for God's sakes.
We're ahead of the New York Rangers.
We are scoring more goals per game than Edmonton and Pittsburgh and Calgary and Nashville. Again, they're all doing really poorly, too. But we're not at the bottom of the league. And I feel like our fan base is kind of groomed for a freakout because of the last several seasons. And we're going, oh, dear God, like you said with Corey Perry, I've seen this movie before. I'm going to turn my back on it. And what's really kind of worrisome for me as a fan, as someone who likes a full building, and what's got to be really worrisome for the folks who sell tickets for the Canes for a living, is that people are going, I might have to turn my back on this season.
Yeah, and we are currently 71 games, I believe, left.
Mm-hmm.
71 games left in the season. By my math, that is a majority.
Can confirm.
So, still a lot of games to be played. We've played I would not say a difficult schedule in terms of back-to-backs and that, but we have played some very difficult teams, and it's been tough for this team. You know, we are, what, three, four weeks into the season, and the Carolina Hurricanes played two games this week. We're going to really, really want this break, I don't know, during December or during February. I believe February is the month that we're having all of our mail forwarded to the PNC Arena because we'll basically be there all 28 days.
I think it's 26 home games in 27 days.
Yeah, it's something crazy. But this team's got to get a little momentum. We've got to have a jumping off point. And I'm thinking, you know, tonight is going to be the night. that turns the season around. I've got, if we were allowed to play music on this podcast and not get cease and desist orders, this would be by the where I drop in a little PE and you'd be here. And by the time I get to Arizona, you don't know that because
I don't. I'm looking at you like, what is this, Mike?
No, oh, you don't know. By the time I get to Arizona,
I don't
leave here. On the way home,
okay.
Drop on, you know, onto Spotify. By the time I get to Arizona, by Public Enemy, and actually enjoy some good rap.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, because you know, NWA, greatest rap group of all time.
Let's just move on from that.
No, we won't. I'm still angry at that Dom interview last year where he was like, "Going who NWA who?"
Sorry,
whatever. Terminator X you all day long, son. This is where we've got to the season, Derek. It's we're 20, 30 minutes into this podcast or something, and I'm
we're already talking late 80s, early 90s West Coast rap.
Yeah, and because that's where I'm finding joy. I have to have a place to find joy, and I need some joy in my life because if the world burns today, I mean, it could because my North Carolina State Wolfpack have homecoming against Clemson, and then tonight we play the team that has potentially one of the worst starts. I believe it's the second worst start in National Hockey League history. This league that has been around for 100 years, this is a historically bad start for the Arizona Coyotes. We are going in there tonight to play them on the precipice of either A, getting back to Hockey 500, or B, sinking into an abyss so deep NC State fans will worry about us.
How about a little sunshine, Mike? Since we're flipping the script here today.
Drop a little sunshine on me, Derek.
So I read JC's Puck and Sunshine this morning, and it got me in a better mood.
Excellent.
You know, it was a gloomy day. I was like, oh, here's a bright ray that I need to get my hockey day off right. And one of the things he put in there, Justin Williams. How many points would you guess he has right now?
Justin Williams has 7 points.
He has 9.
Oh, that's nice.
That's pleasant. He's got 9 points. Jeff Skinner has 9 points. Williams has 5 assists in his last 5 games.
That's pleasing.
Yeah, see, there are some good things, and I think one of the things that we need to do as fans is maybe if the team is stinking, let's try to look at some of the good individual performances because those are the things that, if they're going right, are good signals. Like, you know, you can get fluky bounces or you can take 60 effing shots on net one night and only 3 beat the goalie. But let's look at some of the individuals, and then we can go, hey, we can start to kind of talk amongst ourselves because we kind of know that Bill Peters isn't going to change the lines before a game of, hey, what if we put this guy with this guy and just let's have some fun, Mike. We shouldn't have this conversation in early November.
So, Brett Pesce.
Yeah. How long's he out for?
Who knows? He's got a concussion.
That's not good.
Klaus Dahlbeck's playing.
Ooh, that's worse.
We called up. We called up Patrick Brown as opposed to calling up, I don't know, Valentin Zikov or Fogel or Walmart.
I don't understand that.
Noah Hanifin can't pass his way out of a brown freaking paper bag.
Mike, you're awfully despondent right now.
Josh Joris is playing on the third line with Jeff Skinner.
That's weird.
Derek.
Josh Joris had 2 goals in Toronto the other night, right?
Derek.
Mike.
Derek.
Mike. Don't. Derek. Don't leave me here.
Derek, listen to the sound of my voice.
I am, and it's lulling me to sleep.
It's over.
No.
Derek, just we should just quit now.
Why? Because you said we have a majority of our games left.
To lose. That's what it's felt like. I mean, so during the second period, when that happened, I had to, you know what was the signal to me that I was like, nope, I'm done, I'm logging off. I sent you a text and I'm like, Derek, you've got Twitter, I'm crashing. Because
you
I
did.
Because I couldn't take it. And you know what happened? I saw Kylie Slavin tweet. Kylie Slavin tweeted, went to take the dog out, came back to this, and it was the gif of the guy walking in with the pizza boxes and his apartment's on fire. And I'm like, when Kylie's dropping apartment on fire, that's it. I mean, the most positive, one of the most wonderful humans associated with the Carolina Hurricanes, and she's going, oh God. I'm like, nope, that's it. I'm done. Done. But you know what? We have a chance to turn that around tonight in Arizona.
Please.
By the time we get to Arizona, we are going to be Hockey 500. We are going to drive out of there. We're going to come back to Raleigh. This is the turning point tonight. Because if we do lose, I also think it's a turning point because I think there is going to be a significant shakeup in lineups by bringing people up from Charlotte, or even potentially looking at early season trades, or if we believe what Joe Ovius and Adam Gold have to say, the coaching seat is going to get habanero hot.
Mm-hmm. Look, we'll see. We've heard from people who know hockey much, much better than you and I do, Mike, that some of the issues that people are having with Hanifin should probably wait a little bit because Hanifin looks like he's hurt. We've heard some things about his skating and where he is and isn't putting pressure and things that I truly don't understand, but I go, you know what? I trust your hockey opinion. Yep. And I don't know if it's anything we should call out right now. But.
Right, no, but I was ready to go. I was talking with this person earlier today, and I was ready to go full Elias Lindholm firebomb on Hanifin, and he said, give it a week or so. He might be, you know, something may be lingering. And that's the other question. We've talked a little bit about our beloved ginger goalie, Scott Darling. I'm wondering if some of the issues that he has had may be some lingering of that preseason injury that he had, because he has not looked, he's looked good at times, really good at times, but he's not necessarily looked comfortable. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a new team, maybe it's the starting position, maybe it's just how Scott Darling plays, because we've only had a chance to watch him a couple of games a season for the last few years.
Right.
But he hasn't necessarily looked comfortable. So I'm wondering if there's some of that lingering. I'd love for this team to get healthy. I would love for this team to be playing at its maximum capacity. I would love for a couple of the guys who are really producing in Charlotte, i.e., you know, God bless you, Patrick Brown, but I'd much rather have one of the guys who have scoring acumen come up and not come up to sit in the press box. I need Valentin Zhikov, or I need Walmart. I need Sebastian Aho playing center. I need something. If we lose tonight,
put those guys with Skinner,
and no changes are made, Derek, I may have to take drastic measures.
Okay.
I don't want to say what they are, but they're going to be drastic. And you know what? People may want to go buy a ticket to one of the upcoming games to take a part of my drastic measures.
This episode is brought to you by TickPick, where smart fans buy and sell tickets. Check out TickPick for the best ticket prices for your next game, concert, or event, and use promo code PODCAST to save $10 off any order over $49. That's TickPick.com. Promo code PODCAST.
Thanks, TickPick, and thanks, sultry voice lady.
It's a very sultry voice.
Yeah, yeah, but Derek, talking about getting tickets, going to the game, I actually had a little bit of a rant last week on Ye Olde Podcast here about the fan experience.
You most certainly did.
And I did as I promised, which was I sent an email to some folks over at the team, and bully to the team, I actually, they invited me over. We had a wee bit of a conversation with not just one person, but I think the head of every department that focuses around customer service.
How many copies of your TPS report did you bring, though?
I thought it was just going to be like me and maybe one other person, and I walked in the executive boardroom 10, 12 deep, and I was like, I looked Dave Olson, GM and president of the PNC Arena, square in the eye, and I said, if I would have known this many people would have been here, I would have prepared a PowerPoint. And then Larry Perkins looked at him and said, he's serious. So yeah, but no, it was a really good conversation. A couple of things I learned that, you know, I don't know whether I think the Canes should probably make this, and I encourage them. I'm like, guys, make this stuff public knowledge. The reason that concession stands are closed is not because of attendance. The reason concession stands are closed is because they can't get people to work. There actually is an employment issue for, let's call it, low-level paying retail employment here in the Triangle. It's mm-hmm. It's harder and harder to find folks. There was actually a job fair at PNC Arena, one of the first mid-season job fairs that we've had in a while. And I challenged Dave Olson. I said, Dave, I don't believe you, because you guys were closing things last year. And he said, it's been an employment issue since last season. I actually, you know, did a little follow-up research on my own and talked to some people who are in the staffing industry, and they kind of confirmed that, yeah, that's kind of the case. It's a little tough to fill those positions right now. Doing some interesting things. They even said there was some folks in downtown Raleigh who wanted to come work but necessarily did not have reliable transport to and from the arena, and it was tough. So there were discussions around maybe getting a Caniac coach to mm-hmm. go to like some of the big apartment buildings downtown for folks who want a little bit of part-time work to bring them in so that way they can open more of the concession stands. So they're getting creative on some of that. Newsflash, if you listen to this and you're looking for a little part-time work, call up the Carolina Hurricanes. They need people to staff concession stands, and they will take really good care of you, I'm certain. And they need better people. That I think that was the one thing I got out of the conversation is, you know, as we look at maybe some of the customer service issues that I had faced, and they've done a lot of work, and I'm not going to go through all of the stuff that they shared. They've done a lot of training, and I think their heads and their hearts are in the right places. I think it's just a matter of they don't have enough people to staff the building, and when I'm an employee and know that, nah, you're already 50 employees short, what are you going to do to me? Maybe there's a little bit of a staffing issue, and I think that may blend down. But I did want to say a formal thank you to Dave Olson, Larry Perkins, John Chase, Don Waddell, and all of those who took the opportunity to hear our concerns and are actively working to address those. So I wanted to personally say thank you to those guys.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome that they met with you. And as we said last week, it's cool and it's fun to rant and rave on Twitter when things aren't going well or you have concerns about what's going on with the team. But approach them. Like, talk to them. Have an adult conversation about it. The team wants to listen. They want to get better, as you evidenced there, Mike. So
yeah, and Larry actually said, if you guys don't know Larry Perkins is the assistant general manager for the PNC Arena. Professor, educator, vaunted book writer, and really one of the nicest guys you'll ever run into. If you run into anything, Larry is always in the concourse. And Larry said, I wish more fans came to us, Mike, with these type of things, constructive criticism and feedback, so that way we had the opportunity to fix it, because we're trying to do better every single day. So if you run into something like that, I would highly encourage you to seek out somebody like Larry Perkins, who is a great bed of ears to bed of ears. I don't know where
that's,
I was going.
That's kind of weird.
A hot bed of ears.
Yeah. So if you just see a bed of ears walking around the concourse, that's Larry.
Or just really tall, you know, very nicely suited man.
Yes.
But yeah. So yeah, reach out to Larry. He will take that feedback. Larry can't help fix the product on the ice, but if it is anything around the arena or in the arena, they are actively working to do that. And also put pressure on your local, whomever may be a part of the Centennial Authority, because ultimately it's the Centennial Authority who is going to help us get some upgrades in an arena that is quickly becoming dated and needs a few updates.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Derek.
Speaking of updates.
Updates.
We got some updated questions from folks this morning.
Updates in our cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. That was much better than last week.
Yeah, it's a little smoother. So let me hit you with the first one here, old buddy.
Hit me, pal.
This is from our friend Al Hood at Al B. Hood on the Twitter machine. Anything in the Hurricanes homegrown series you are excited to try?
Wins. Next question.
Every ticket to a homegrown game comes with a win.
You know what? I'm looking forward. The t-shirts are very nice.
The Hurricane like Doppler radar one, yeah. That's a smooth design. I like that a great
very
deal.
Nice designs. I also like the fact that they're throwing in desserts this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that sweet, sweet, delicious dessert.
I want to try the bologna burger. I don't care. Big thick slab of bologna.
Oh, shut your filthy mouth and hold me. Derek, this one comes from, I believe, a new person to cheat mail. It's Butler Mick 3, Michael Butler. If you could trade away one player on this team, who would it be?
You know.
No, I don't. Tell me.
Cam Ward.
Oh, okay, so who's playing?
Because I'm just tired. I'm just tired of all the talk around Cam Ward. This is not about his performance this season, which, again, as we went in Colorado, wasn't good. I'm just tired of having him with this team. I want that fresh start, all those sort of things. Just get rid of Cam Ward. Bring in I don't care who. Just get rid of Cam Ward. Hell, let's make our friend Meg at Love and Hydrogen happy. Send Cam Ward to the moon.
Wow. I want to trade a defensive prospect and Derek Ryan to somewhere for an actual scoring forward.
Good luck with all that.
Yeah, I know, right?
From our friend Ben Moser, I guess we're answering a lot of questions from the Northeast this morning. What beer goes best with panic?
What beer goes...
And there's an obvious answer. It's from our friends at Appalachian Mountain Brewing. It's called Panic Water. That is two on the nose.
What beer goes best with panic? Can I go off the board, Derek?
Sure.
The beer that goes best with Panic, Bacardi 151.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just wash away all the hurt.
Straight fire water.
And ability to think.
Exactly.
Okay.
And are you staying with AMB?
No, I'm not, because they are owned by a big conglomerate. So I'm going to go with a beer that I opened when I was in a panic when my beloved Buckeyes were down 14 Cobb last week. I opened up a Focal Banger from The Alchemist, thanks to my buddy Dustin at Bottle Mix. They don't sell it, unfortunately, because no one here does. But that's one of the best IPAs I've ever had. And that calmed me right the heck down.
Mm, delicious, delicious. This one from our buddy Dan McLaughlin. When is it time to call a forward up from Charlotte to shake things up a bit?
Tuesday last week.
I would agree. I think we also made the wrong call. Patrick Brown, nice guy. Ginger, not the guy that we wanted.
What can Brown do for you? Stay in Charlotte.
Exactly. Because of his hashtag leadership. But here's the problem. If we're going to call up a guy and just let him sit in the press box, Patrick Brown's fine for that. Let Charlotte continue to win, because they're playing pretty damn well down there. As you would know if you had read this week's Checkpoint, put up by Mr. Workright.
All right, Mike, from Chance of Playoffs at C S H A U R U E R S at Showers, maybe, but is Derek Ryan the new Ryan Murphy?
No. Ryan Murphy was Ryan Murphy had upside and never delivered. Derek Ryan has continued to be a slight surprise for how well he's done for a guy who spent so much time over in Europe getting his game. You know who Derek Ryan is?
Who dat?
Derek Ryan is the new Chad LaRose. Derek Ryan is a guy who is very divisive among the fan base. You either love him or hate him, and he is the most overslotted player in Carolina Hurricanes history since Chad LaRose.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
a good answer.
It's pretty easy, man. Let's see. I got to try to find something here that could be fun.
I've got a couple lined up if you need one.
Hit me with another one, Derek.
This is from Dumb Luck and Aaron at Camel City something. Twitter cuts it off. More dangerous occupation: goalie for Golden Knights, who have been through every goalie already, or drummer for Spinal Tap?
Ooh, great question. Derek, can I go off the board?
It was an either or, but yes.
Airline pilot for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, dear God.
Really?
Would also accept pilot for the, you know, Chubby Checker or the Big Bopper or Richie Valens.
Marshall Thundering Herd.
Let's move right the hell on.
Wow. From our buddy Alex Jones, but not that Alex Jones. What would it take for you, I'm assuming we, as in the Section 328 crew, to get on the Fire Peters train?
I don't know, because I don't want to. And I saw this question come in, and I was wondering how I would answer this. I mean, it would take more losses in a row without doing anything.
Yeah, I think it would take... Here's what it would take. It takes the status quo. I don't think it would take anything except continuing to do the same thing with the same results, which are going to be sub 500 hockey, without making any changes. So whether that be...
It'd have to be like a 3-6-1 stretch and just trotting out the same thing every night.
And we know that's not going to happen, because if you go to blendomatic.section328.com, Bill Peters' favorite website on all of the interwebs, you'll know that Bill Peters is going to continue to shake up the lines and shake up the lineup, but he's not going to do something crazy like, I don't know, slot Sebastian Aho in at center to see if that can maybe spark his game a little bit, and give us three good centers and let us see if Sebastian Aho potentially has a future in center in this league, or if he's going to continue to be a wing, and we're going to continue down this Derek Ryan third line centered thing that we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make Victor Rask the third line center. Let Sebastian Aho play that first line center. I don't know. Maybe put him with the likes of Jeff Skinner and Justin Williams and see what happens.
Yeah. So I have one more.
Okay.
And this is from our friend Dane at Lion Tamer 80. Sent this in a few days ago. Match your favorite or least favorite cane to a candy. This was sent on Halloween, I believe.
Your favorite or least favorite cane.
You pick either your favorite or least favorite. Or just any cane that comes to mind that you can think of to pair with a candy. I've got one.
Okay. I am going to pair Jeff Skinner.
Damn it, that was mine. All right, I'll find a new one.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, go for it. No.
I'm going to pair Jeff Skinner with a Twix bar.
Okay.
Because there are two Twix, and I feel like there are two Jeff Skinners.
Okay.
There's the chalky milk and smiles Jeff Skinner that we all know and love. And then there is the left Jeff Skinner, a.k.a. left Twix, the one that Bill Peters sees, who can't do anything right. And, you know, I feel like Bill Peters is that tape machine in the Twix commercial, you know, because, you know, Cam Ward lets in two really soft goals, but Jeff Skinner potentially being, you know, having 8 extra inch in his gap than he should have while he's trying to be the only guy who can score a flipping goal on this team.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a dichotomy. Yeah, folks may also say that he is Almond Joy or something like that, but that's two of the same thing that no one really likes.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. I mean, that was a little bit of a stretch. I feel like I disappointed you there. You probably had a better... Give me your Jeff Skinner.
So my Jeff Skinner was a Snickers in that after you watch him play, you're no longer cranky. You're back to being yourself.
Huh. Yeah, Jeff Skinner. He satisfies.
Or he's Twizzlers. Because they make mouths happy and Skinner's always smiling, the Twizzlers smile thing.
Oh, I like that.
So I've got another one, and I'm going to go with Cam Ward. And he is either Squirrel Nut Zippers or Mary Jane's. Not that good, and old people like him for some reason.
Woof. You and I were on a very similar thing there. I was going to go with Klaas Dahlbeck as candy corn because he should only be around 2 months of the year, and even then, no one really likes him. So that was much better than my Jeff Skinner take. I'm proud of that one. Derek.
Yes.
You have a beautiful, beautiful beverage still in front of you.
I do. I've got a little left.
And, I believe you picked this beverage up from a local bottle shop?
Oh, did I? So, this now beer review, I'm very happy to say, is brought to you by our friends at Bottle Mix, where I got this delightful beer. And if you're not familiar with Bottle Mix, they are up in North Raleigh. They're on Creedmoor Road. They're a mile south of 540. They're 3 miles north of Crabtree. They're probably on your way to a Canes game. So if you're going to the game, you're like, oh, damn, I don't have any beer or wine, because they have a lot of wine, too. Stop in there, see Dustin, see Jack, see Bruce, see whoever. Get your beverages, go to the game, and enjoy it.
Or maybe it's the day after a game, because right across the shopping center from Bottle Mix, you can get queso when Justin Falk scores. So maybe stop and get some queso and wash down said queso with some beer.
I like the way you think there, Mike.
Yeah, I like that.
So, went into Bottle Mix, saw Dustin. I said, hey, what do I need to drink this week? He handed me a can of Stone Vengeful Spirit IPA. Stone Brewing, well known for all their IPA work, some of which can be really aggressive IPAs. This one is not as aggressive, and they say on the back that it's kind of going for that tropical feel, and it's described as an unfiltered IPA with juicy pineapple and mandarin orange. I forget if it says what hops are in here. I don't see them anywhere. I'd be surprised if there wasn't something like Citra in here, because it is just very juicy. It's very tropical. It's delicious beer. It said unfiltered, and I'm looking at it, and it certainly has a little haze to it, which is nice. It's not that kind of separation that makes you fearful for a beer. It's just that really nice light cloudiness to a beer, and it smells just like Hawaii exploded into a glass. It's delightful. A lot of pineapple, a lot of mandarin orange, like, God.
That's like Tom Selleck?
Huh?
It was a Magnum PI reference. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. I was like, this beer doesn't smell like a mustache. But no, just like really rich, juicy pineapple. And that's the taste on this beer. It is just refreshing as all hell. Really, really tasty. I know there's a few 80-degree days coming up, which makes absolutely no sense in November. But this is a beer that's perfect on a warm day. And it's still really good on a cloudy 60-degree day like Saturday. I think
at 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah. This can, I think, runs about $2 for a can for a delicious IPA that is 7.3. Sorry, I couldn't tell by the glare in there. 7.3%. So not too high, but it's a really good beer. So stop in, go to Bottle Mix, tell Dustin you heard about this beer on the podcast. He will hook you up with as many cans of Stone Vengeful Spirit as you possibly want. Go to bottlemix.com. You can see what's new on tap because they've got like 10 draft beers,
16 bottles of wine available by the glass, and they've got a great selection of those too. And they've got a whole ton of events coming up all the time. So check out bottlemix.com and swing by on Creedmoor and go get your beer.
Yeah. And another event they're going to be putting on the calendar soon, Live Cheaters Never Win podcast, coming to you live from Bottle Mix. And while it could very easily turn into a drunk podcast, it won't start that way.
No,
but we will be planning at least one, if not two, live podcasts coming to you from Bottle Mix later on this season. Hopefully after we've won a couple of games, so that way we have a reason to celebrate with their wonderful beverages, as opposed to, I don't know, drown our sorrows.
And I feel like I need to point out, because some people may not know Bottle Mix, Bottle Mix is spelled with two X's at the end. So when it's bottlemix.com, that's bottle M-I-X-X. .com.
Yes. Again, on Creedmoor Road. They're in the same shopping center where the Laser Zone used to be.
Actually, the one right next to that.
Oh yeah, it's all kind of the same. If you're an old Raleighite, they're in the same shopping center where Briggs is, and everybody knows where Briggs is.
That's true.
So
it's the place to avoid.
Bottle Mix is not the place to avoid. Avoid us, because if we lose this game tonight, particularly if the Wolfpack lose this afternoon, I will be full of piss, vinegar, and whiskey, and I may just go full nuclear tonight, George Bush style.
I was like, is that different from nuclear?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gonna go nuclear.
Now, you said it right that time.
Nuclear.
There you go.
That's what I said. Whatever. Leave me alone. You're the one drinking the beer, not me. You didn't hear me right. You know what we did hear right? We heard Cheat Mail right. We heard Bottle Mix. We heard Tick Pick. We heard that we're still a member of the Section 3, or member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network.
And there was much rejoicing.
And we also heard Mark Armstrong. This was a good day, Derek. This is a good way to start a beautiful day, because last Saturday went so well for us. Never mind. Thanks for listening, guys. You know where to find us. We are section_328 over on the Twitters.
Respect the underscore.
There was people this week who did not respect the underscore, and they ended up having a conversation with our good friends up in Boston. But we thank our friends from Boston for continuing to respect the underscore. We are over on Instagram, but we don't do a whole heck of a lot there. We're on Snapchat. We never do anything there.
We don't.
We're on Facebook. We're our section328.com over on the blog, continuing to pump out great content for you. The Twitter bingo card.
Yeah. And there's a new store site on section 328. So if you go to section328.com/store, you can see all of our shirts in one place.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice. So buy the merch, buy the shirts, check them out. They make great Christmas gifts. You know, we just really appreciate you guys doing everything you do for us, by whether it be supporting us over at patreon.com/section328, buying a shirt, or just listening to this podcast and rating and reviewing it, so that way more hockey fans can find it. Thank you to Bottle Mix. Thanks to Sports Channel 8. But again, thank you guys for listening, because without this whole little Twitter family, we probably wouldn't know what the hell to do when the Canes lose tonight in Arizona.
Damn it, Mike. Stop that.
All right. When the Canes win tonight in Arizona.
Yay!
By the time I get to Arizona. Go listen to that, Derek. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
We're out of here.
Yeah.